Okay, Wednesday evening, 7:06:22. It's going by so fast, can't keep up with it. We're going to look at living epistles. Living epistles. 2 Corinthians 3. I'm just going to read that whole chapter here. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Now the word heart here is the thoughts, the feelings, and the mind, or the middle, your core. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. All right, in other words, what am I saying here? Well, this is what the Lord spoke a few weeks ago. I believe it was on a Sunday morning concerning the office of the apostle, that so many people focus on building a natural house and this is office of apostle. They build churches and all this stuff. The Lord said to me, that's not what I mean. I'm talking about a spiritual house. That's why the doctrine's laid down. That's why, you know, Jesus is the cornerstone, and then the apostles and prophets lay down the foundation. Why? To build up a spiritual house. It's always about institutions of religious things. And so many people get caught up in that. They go to church, they do their routine, they go, they sit down, they listen to something, they leave, they come back, and they may do it for 30 years, and they never seem to have any change at all. This is the thought that the Spirit pressed upon me. So much in the natural, even though, like it said here, we're reading about Moses and how it was the letter of the law written on stones, but the veil was still on their hearts, still on their eyes. See, the walk of the Spirit, it's an awakening. It's a renewing process. See, we're going through a renewing process. We've been going through a renewing process all of our lives, really. But for us, the last about 7 or 8 years, nearly 8 now, next month will be 8 years, we've gone through a renewing of the mind process like we've never in all the years of churches that we were in. All right, 1 Peter. You know, if you've got something, now it's been a while back, this lady was at the nail place and she was all upset about some stuff going on. It was after the election and all that kind of stuff. And I started talking to her. I mean, I tell you, I felt sorry for the others in there around the room. They probably thought we was nuts. They were kooks. But she kind of was in the know about a few things. But it's always, what church you go to? You know, what church you go to? What God do you follow? What God do you follow? Because there's not a lot of life in churches. I'm telling you, we have not been to many that had much of nothing. The Lord had to pull us out of the system to get us going in the right direction, what He had for us to do. If we'd have stayed in the system, we would have missed it totally. Not coming against anybody. But that's just our experience. 1 Peter 2:4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. See, they rejected the stone. They rejected Him. The religious leaders of His day rejected Him. But it's the stone's going to crush them too. Grind them to powder. Ye also are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Whether they liked it or not, whether they accepted Him or not, it is the truth. And there's going to be a day, and they're going to say, Oh, I didn't know. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. See, Jesus right there confuses the religious. They don't get it. A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Organized religion is darkness. We've totally missed the point. I know you have to have places together. Don't get me wrong. But so much emphasis is placed on, well, you know, the Lord told me to come out of here and build a church. And they do, and it flops, and then they leave. We've seen it happen. Well, maybe it's not what they thought. How did Paul and his team go in and do that? They went into heathen places. Sometimes they had to deal with demonic spirits, but they just got on the riverbank or somewhere, any place they could find. Paul was in a place where there was idols everywhere, and he was talking, you know, it was a vantage point where he could talk to them about, you know, here you got this statue of the unknown God. Well, I'm going to tell you about the unknown God. He just started preaching. People started getting born again. Before you know it, they got a house church going here and a house church going there. Lord said to me, the humbleness of me born in a stable, they missed the Savior and the King of the world's birth. Didn't recognize Him, didn't see Him. home churches, I'm sure people have made fun of us behind our backs. Oh, they ain't got nothing. I even heard somebody say out there at the God's Learning Channel, well, if you got just a couple people, you ain't got nothing. Too humble for you? Too simple for you? God will use the foolishness of the world, or foolishness, period, to stymie the ones that think they know everything. I don't know, that scripture came to me, but I don't. Well, do you know where that is? Mm-hmm. Okay.
1 Corinthians chapter 2.
Okay, right there is what I need. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Right here, 11. Is it 11? Okay. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered to the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Huh? What?
Chapter 1, verse 26.
Well, that's good right there.
It flows with...
All right, 1 what?
1:26. So
okay.
For
ye see your calling, brethren, that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. What I see the Lord saying here is, you know what? I would rather it be in a stable and be humble and you're following the Lord, than to have some, you know, gathering and no power thereof. All right, it seems as a church, the focus has been on natural structures to qualify as a church. But I think we've missed the point. God did move out of the box. What is the box? Organized religion. Thinking of home groups is like thinking about the Savior, the King of the world, being born in a stable, humble, meek, and lowly. How so much so that he was not recognized. I say that the church should be recognized by their fruit and not by their elaborate display of campuses and programs, dramas, dance teams, bands. You just name it. All they're doing is trying to mimic the world, to try to compete with the world, to try to bring the people in when he said, go! No, we want to stay within our protected four little walls. We want to be where there's no other people but us. Isn't that the kind of general consensus? All right, the deep state can shut down the campuses, burn all the Bibles, but they cannot touch the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because his word's written on our hearts, his ways. Some get upset today about parts of the Bible missing. Why? Are you naive enough to believe that the devil has not laid his finger on every, or put his finger in every pie? He has. Just get over it. He has. Don't think for a minute that God doesn't know what the devil has done and what he's been doing from the very beginning. He called him. He comes to steal, kill, destroy. He can't do anything else. Lie. Father lies. The devil can't touch the church, for the head of the church lives in us. He can tell us exactly what we need to do and when we need to do it. Why do you know you're a child of God? How do you know you're a child of God? Because your spirit bears witness with the Holy Spirit. That's how you know. All right, John 14. If they took our Bibles away today, they would not stop us one iota. All right, John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. Like Danny and I were discussing in the book of Q, it talks about how Mark was really the original, and Luke and Matthew kind of piggybacked on Mark's things and added some of their revelation, kind of how the Bible came together. Well, it wasn't immediate. Who knows how many years they went with no written word except the old covenant. This is what Jesus is saying to them. I'm going to bring everything I've said to you to remembrance because I'm sending the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Now I've told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. See, they were going to have to depend on the Holy Spirit within. This is what happened on the day of Pentecost. And somebody like Peter that denied the Lord three times, he is a mess. You know, he really was. Like a lot of us. He was a mess. But I'll tell you what, on the day of Pentecost, he rose up in boldness and preached the word, and 3,000 were saved. All right. He's alive and he's living in us, for we are his temple. Temple not made with hands. I mean, Jesus said himself, throw down this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. How did he do that? Because they were going to become born again and they were going to become the temple of the living God. That's how. God never intended to make another temple. I know that probably upset some Jews, but I don't care. Get over it. It's about time you know the truth too. It's about time we quit being sabotaged in the body of Christ and put so much emphasis on that. I know a lot of people wouldn't like that, even our family. Anyway, Hebrews 4:12, out of the Amplified. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, soul, and the mortal spirit and the of joints and marrow, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. His word is alive. Who is the word? Jesus. All right, John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. He's going to show it to you. Yeah. Are 711 more books going to be, is it really going to matter? I mean, really, if that's the truth? Like I said, just get over the fact the devil's messed with everything. He's had his finger in every pie. Because we have not done our job as the church. We didn't know to. We hadn't been taught to be warriors. We were taught to be dependent. Long, keep them coming. Keep them paying those tithes, you know. I know someone, and they have people in the ministry as family. And if they don't pay their tithes, even though they don't go there, they're on the phone telling them, we need your tithes. I'm just going, are you kidding me? I said, I thought you were supposed to give your tithe to where you're being fed. See, I'm thinking, I had to be careful because I, you know, I'm just going, what's not right with this picture? It's not about that. It's not about the money. I believe that one single word from God is enough to cause you to reign in life. One word of God. I'm not saying don't read your Bible. I'm thankful for what we have. And I read it faithfully. But if it was not there, and if we find out all kinds of garbage, there's everything floating out there. I will say this about Gene Decode. He said the other day, he said, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he said, there's people that have come behind the scenes and they're trying to discredit his divine conception, trying to say he had children, all this stuff. He said, oh no, he is the sinless, pure Son of God. And I said, well, I appreciate that about him, even though he's out there in some areas as far as I'm concerned. But he said, nothing's going to, you know, he said, that's heresy to say those kind of things. And there's plenty of channels out there. There are even people that don't have any knowledge of the Word of God. They're getting off track because of it. Like I said, they're waiting on the Palladians, you know, to take them up in their ships and get healed by their med beds. I'm going, oh my God. All right. This is 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. This is Amplified too, so I'll just listen. Every scripture is God-breathed, given by inspiration, and profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness and holy living in conformity to God's will in thought, purpose, and action, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. So don't worry or be afraid, for every little thing's going to work out all right. He didn't leave us helpless. He sent the Holy Ghost. He said, even if they took your Bibles away, or even if they've messed them up so bad, it's so mixed up you can't understand it. He didn't leave us as orphans, he said. All right. God wrote the law on tables of stone for Moses to bring to the people. That was not what he wanted, though. That was not his intent. That was not what he wanted. He had to deal with these people the way he could deal with them. He couldn't get them to do nothing. Couldn't even get them to do right on the manna. They were used to the lash. All the, well, we'll do everything they tell us we need to do. Well, that's, we're in communism. So he gave them a law that they couldn't keep. Isn't that like God? I want them to get so tired and so messed up with that mess. I mean, there's people today follow the Old Testament to the letter, and they're Christians. No, God didn't mean for it to be that way. How did he mean it to be? Right here. Jeremiah 31. Said, I'm going to give you something that you can't follow. That's why Paul was so mad at Peter. He said, how dare you do this to the new converts because you're trying to put on them what we couldn't keep ourselves. God knew they couldn't keep it. If you sin in one thing, you sin in all of it. God has a sense of humor, doesn't he? Why? He had to prepare them for what was coming. We're tired of this law. We don't want nothing to do with this law. We can't keep it anyway. You would have thought they would embrace Jesus. Some did, some didn't. All right, verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. God's looking for a relationship, not a letter of the law keeper. God wanted something for his sons. He wanted a relationship with his sons, like the prodigal. When the prodigal came home, he didn't gripe him out for wasting his inheritance. No, he treated him like he was so glad to see him, and he favored the best of everything. He had a fillet ring on his finger, which is checking privileges, best robe, party. Here comes old religious brother. Well, you ain't never done nothing for me. Son, everything I've got is yours. But they couldn't see past it because of the law. All right, Romans 8. Get a drink right quick. There's therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by a Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For in the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So you know what? Organized religion hasn't done it. It hasn't done it for any of us. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. This is an inside walk. It is not an external walk in any form or fashion. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. You know, we strive in our flesh to try to achieve. See, the Spirit has taken all that work and toil and grief away. We don't have to do all these things that we grew up thinking we have to do to be right. Maybe we've read too many books. See, he wants us to draw on him. He's the one that's doing it in us. He is the one that will help us in our infirmities. Most every major thing I've had to deal with in my life, and I got to that, the help I needed through praying in the Spirit. Whether long or short, every time the result was as a result of inside. It wasn't somebody on the outside doing anything for me. It was always the Spirit himself helping. Right here, read it again. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Holy Spirit knows the will of God for you. As you draw upon this inner life, then you're going to tap into the mind of God concerning your situation. Will it happen overnight? No, sometimes it may take some years even. I know it has for me in some instances. People are wanting to, I want to answer right. Microwave maturity. That's one of the things that Joyce Meyer always we talked about. Drive-through. I'll pick it up like I pick up a burrito at Taco Bell. Let's pick up my answer right there at that drive-through window and buzz on about my way. It's not the way it works. Your answers are going to come this way. Your help is going to come this way. That's how you've gotten as far as you've gotten. That's how you've gotten the revelation that you've gotten, is this way. And you know why all things are going to work together for your good? Because you tapped into the right source. You're tapped into the only, I can't say person, but the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. You're tapped into the only person that knows everything There ain't nobody out there. They might try to do their best, but they don't know. But the Holy Spirit does. He knows. See, you can tap into the mind of the Spirit concerning issues and things. You can fret and stew, wear yourself out, feel bad about yourself and all this stuff. That don't have nothing to do with this. That's just a waste of time. That's just Satan and his lies trying to get you off, get you out of the walk of the Spirit, because he knows, if I can get him out of the Spirit, man, it's death. I can do something. This is an inside, see, when the church gets a hold of this as a whole, you talk about power. Like, we don't need roads. We don't need institutions. I'm not saying God won't say build institutions, but you get my point. There's all this focus on the outward. I'm thankful for the written word of God that we have today, but the emphasis here today is to get you looking inside and not so much outside. Especially for your answers about things. All you ever need to succeed is inside of you right now. Everything you need, you're fully equipped for everything you need inside of you right now. And what is all this we've been going through? Learning how to use it. Learning how to tap into it. This is all about tearing down those institutions in our minds that have indoctrinated us, and we're no better for it. In fact, it was a deterrent. I'm thankful that I wasn't raised in church. I'm thankful God pulled us out. Didn't understand it for a long time, but now I get it. And I'm thankful. It just irks me when I get around churchy folk. I want to say, oh. And once in a while, they'll actually listen to you once in a while. But you pretty well learn just to leave them alone. They're happy there, I guess. They're failures. They're not getting well. They're broke. It may not look like we're much better, but we are. We're coming up higher. All right. Colossians 1. I'm just going to read these three chapters here. I'll make it quick. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Do you ever notice how much he talked about grace? Paul? Grace. This is how it goes. This is all how it all works. It's by the grace of God, this working in us, this temple of the Holy Ghost. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister in Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now we're really praying that you get in a good church somewhere and you go. You make sure you're there every time the doors open. Blah, blah, blah. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power and all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Do you know this is how Jesus walked when he was here? He might pray all night to God. And the next day, he'd go here, go there. Well, there's a woman at the well there in Samaria. I want you to go see to her. Then I want you to come back here and do this and that. He didn't fit into the religious mold. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him are all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things are created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. See, this is our assignment, to get people to this place. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generation, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, be knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge, acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Guys, everything that we need is all in us. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in the spirit, joined and beholding your order in the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. There's what, right there, built in him, built up in him. Not built up in some building somewhere, built up in him. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Not church doctrine. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you're circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances as it was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, and intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. and not holding the head, for whom all the body, by joints and bands, having nourished, ministered, knit together, increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in all will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, but in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. All this outward stuff, it's a trap. If ye then been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall also appear with him in glory. He considers you a joint heir. He's not holding anything against you. I don't care how screwed up you still are. He does not hold anything against you. He's not accusing you. He's not condemning you. So get rid of that. Don't get down on yourself. When you get down on yourself, you're saying, God didn't do a very good work, did he? He made you perfect. Talking about inside. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filth, and communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man and his deeds. See, you're dead. And your new real life is hid with Christ in God. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and longsuffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father by him. You know what? We're the temple of the Holy Ghost. And when we find out and we really get a revelation of what all he's done for us and how complete we are in him, you're not going to have those down days. You're not going to be so accusing at others because you're just so complete in him. His love's perfected in you. You can let people make mistakes. All right, a few more and we'll be done. 1 Corinthians 3. Verses 16 and 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Ephesians 2, verse 21. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Apostles build churches. Most seem to think that that is church buildings. I say no, it is a spiritual house. Living letters for men to read. His word is on our heart. We are a living letter. That's what an epistle is a letter. We are living letters for men to read. How will they read this letter? There'll be signs and wonders that follow when we get a hold of this. We'll be able to put our money where our mouth is. Not just a bunch of talk, but no walk. The day that church moved into the hearts of men was the day of Pentecost, and from that day forward, signs and wonders began to accompany the believers like Jesus said they would in Mark 16. These signs shall follow them that believe. Cast out devils, speak with new tongues, lay hands on the sick, and they would recover. Let's look at Acts 4. Be my last scripture here. Now this is the new church. It's after the day of Pentecost. And being let go, this is when Peter and John were thrown into jail for getting the man at the gate, touching him, and him raising up and walking. They were thrown in jail over that. Because it says here, now when they saw the boldness, verse 13, of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. Wouldn't that be something to somebody make that comment about us? Well, they've been with Jesus. They're not like the preachers we're, you know. Get a little word, feel a little tingle, get a little blessing, and I'm ready to go for another week. That's the consistency of the whole walk right there. 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. See, there's a church with God at the forefront, not the other way around. Well, you know, I can't give. You know, I'm retired and we're on a fixed income, so I just can't give. I'm telling you that I heard that. It's not about that. See, God, he supplies everything we need. When these people got their self and their things out of the way, what happened? They started focusing on taking the gospel. And well, guess what? Signs followed. That's what happens when you do that. We're not going to sit in a building hoping someone will wander in. And maybe somebody might get saved. That's not what it's about. No, we live on the ready that wherever we go, the Holy Ghost gives us instructions. Go here, go there, say this, do that, give that, do this. And that, we're like a living letter being sent.